One day, a farmer hired a man to work for him. The farmer told him his first task would be to paint the barn and said it would take him about 3 days to complete it. The hired man worked hard and finished the painting in one day. The farmer then set him to cutting wood, telling him it would require about 4 days. The hired man worked and finished in a day and a half. The farmer then gave him the task of sorting out a large pile of potatoes. The hired man was to arrange them into three piles: potatoes for seed, potatoes for the pigs, and potatoes good enough to sell. The farmer said it was a small job and shouldn't take too long at all. At the end of the day, the farmer came back and found, to his amazement, that the hired man had barely started. "What's the matter here?" the farmer asked. "You've been able to accomplish every task I've given you in far less time than I would have expected you to do it, but yet you've hardly started." The hired man replied, he says, "I can work hard, farmer, but I just can't make decisions." Sometimes in life, you and I can find it hard to make decisions, but make decisions we must. This was no different in Joseph's day. It was no different in Christ's day, and it is no different today. Having seen in chapter 37 the faithful life of Joseph and how his brothers responded to him with hatred, neglect, and apathy, yet now, ever since, we have come across three groups of people in the life of Joseph. And just for a time now, I want us to consider those three groups of people and just see how they will respond to Joseph, to see what decisions they will make. Will they be like the brothers? Will they hate, neglect, and be apathetic towards Joseph? Or will they love him? Will they be faithful to him? Look with me today at the people's response to Joseph. The first response I want us to look at is the response of the Midianites. This takes us away back to Genesis chapter 37. When Joseph's love had been rejected by his brothers and he was thrown into a pit, in chapter 37 of Genesis, in verse 28, we read that there passed by Midianites, to whom the brothers sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver. Verse 36 of chapter 37 then tells us what these Midianites did. They took Joseph to Egypt and they sold Joseph to Potiphar. Now observe with me the knowledge the Midianites had of Joseph. The knowledge the Midianites had of Joseph. As they passed through Dothan that day and they ended up buying Joseph as a slave, they would have known two truths. The Midianites would have known Joseph was a brother of the others and therefore a free man who could not be bought as a slave. All they had to do was to look at Joseph and see the many physical similarities that he had with these other men. Secondly, the Midianites would not only have known that Joseph was a brother and therefore a free man, but the Midianites would have known Joseph was hated. All they had to do was look at him. He had been beaten up by his brothers. His clothes had been torn. And these brothers are now selling him to them, who are strangers, to become a slave in some far-off country, never to be seen again. Oh, it was certain. Joseph was a brother, but Joseph was hated. He was not cared for by these brothers. He was hated by them. These two truths would surely have been known by the Midianites. But I believe two other truths would also have been known to them. As the Midianites brought Joseph to Egypt, Joseph no doubt would have told the Midianites that he was the beloved son of his father. That is why his brothers hated him. And also that he was innocent, being hated unjustly and without a true and genuine cause. These four things it would be reasonable to expect that the Midianites knew regarding Joseph. They had Joseph, who was freeborn and should not have been made a slave. That Joseph was hated without a cause. He was a beloved son and he was innocent. But now notice with me, not only the knowledge the Midianites had of Joseph, but the response and indeed the decision that the Midianites made regarding Joseph. I believe the response was threefold. First of all, the Midianites did not care about justice when buying Joseph. After all, they knew Joseph was freeborn and should not be bought as a slave, but they bought him anyway. They did not care about what was just and right. The Midianites did not care about truth. when bringing Joseph to Egypt. They did not care about the fact he was innocent. Oh yes, they could have set Joseph free and let him return to his father who loved him once they learned more of the situation on the way down the road, but they did not care about justice and they did not care about truth. The Midianites did not care about Joseph. The only thing they cared about was a bit of money. In buying Joseph for 20 pieces of silver, they would hope to make a small profit for him in Egypt. That was all they cared about, a small bit of money. How sad was this response? Joseph was innocent. Joseph was good. Joseph was the beloved son of his father. But these Midianites just did not care. All they cared about was a little bit of money. Men and women, whenever I think of the Midianites and their response to Joseph, I cannot help but see in it a striking similarity with the response of the soldiers to the Lord Jesus Christ on the day of his condemnation. Compare with me the knowledge that the Midianites and the soldiers had. The soldiers knew Jesus Christ was a brother to the Jews, just as the Midianites knew Joseph was a brother to the 10 men that he was with. The soldiers knew Christ was hated, just as the Midianites knew Joseph was hated, because the soldiers would have seen Christ's face. It had been pummeled by the Jewish leaders. His clothes would have been torn and Christ would have been all roughed up. It is also very likely the soldiers knew that Christ had claimed to be the beloved Son of God, because whenever he had told Pilate, the soldiers, some of them, would have been there because they were the servants to Pilate. And the soldiers very likely knew that Christ was innocent, being hated without a cause. After all, Pilate proclaimed to all the people that he found no fault in Christ, just as the Midianites knew Joseph was innocent. But how would the soldiers respond to this knowledge of Christ? Well, just like the Midianites who didn't care about justice, so the soldiers did not care about justice. Pilate had declared Christ innocent, and yet the soldiers would still scourge Christ with the tormentor's whip. They would still make Christ to carry the cross and then crucify Christ upon the cross. Perhaps you say, but the soldiers couldn't do anything. They were only doing their job. Let me tell you, whenever I was younger and I had hopes of being a soldier, a man told me I should not enter the armed forces and become a soldier because I may be asked to do something I ought not to do. I told that man that I was aware of such a possibility, but that I had made the decision if ever I was asked to do something that was wrong, that was against God's word, I would be willing to be suspended. I'd be willing to be court-martialed by my superiors rather than do what was wrong. Men and women, the soldiers that day did have a choice, but they did not care about justice. They knew Christ was innocent, but they did not care about letting the innocent man go. They would not care. Instead, they would crucify him whom they knew had done nothing wrong. How do I know that they didn't care about justice? Well, in John 19, I am told that the soldiers would scourge Christ to within an inch of his physical life. In Mark 15, I am told the soldiers would mock Christ. They would put a robe up on his mutilated and scourged back. They would force a crown of sharp thorns into his brow. They would place a reed in his hand as a scepter. They would mock him as king and then whip him over the head with that same reed until his face and eyes would bleed and swell. And then told on Mark 15 that the soldiers would rip the robe from off Christ's back, that robe which had now dried in the deep crevices of his back from the scourging, and they would take Christ's hands and feet and hammer huge nails through them, fastening Christ to the cross. Did the soldiers care about justice? Did they care about the fact that Christ was innocent? No, they did not. Did the soldiers care about truth? Did they care about finding out more about Christ, who he is and what he had said and what he had done? Did they care to listen to anything that he said to Pilate within their earshot? No, they did not. They did not care about justice. They did not care about truth. There was only one thing the soldiers are seen to be caring about, and that is making a small profit. In Psalm 22, verse 18, we read that the soldiers would gamble over the garment that Christ wore. This is shocking. while the Son of God would pay the debt for sinful men, the most momentous and the most important event in all history, a moment that these soldiers would remember for all eternity, either in hell or heaven. All they cared about was taking a piece of material and gambling over it, making a bit of profit from it. Oh, how horrible a response to the Son of God, who was innocent, who was pure, who was good, who did nothing but love us. And let me ask you today, as I ask myself, is your response any different to that of the Midianites and the soldiers? Let me ask you, what do you know about the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know that he is hated? Listen to the many around you that take his name in vain. And are you happy to watch the TV shows which take his name in vain on it? Listen to the many around you which deny that Christ ever claimed to be what he's declared himself to be in his word. Whether they be Muslim, Roman Catholic, Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, or any other false religion, let me ask you, are you willing to agree with these false religions? Or are you willing to love Christ? It does not take long for us to realise that Christ is hated. Do you know that Christ is the Son of God who became one of us? In Mark chapter 14, verses 61 and 62, we read, the high priest asked Christ and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed, that is, the Son of God? And Jesus said, I am. In John 3:16, a verse many of you will have heard before, Jesus Christ says of himself, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And there you have it, Christ is the Son of God who became one of us. Do you know that Christ, the Son of God who is hated without a cause? Do you know that he is innocent today? In John 15:25, Christ says that they hated me without a cause. In Hebrews 7, verse 26, the Apostle Paul would declare of Christ that he's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Do you know that Jesus Christ is our brother? As a Son of God, he took upon himself our humanity. He was made the God-man. This he did so that he would die in our place and pay the debt for our sins and purchase for us salvation, that he might bring us back to God from the deep, dark paths of sin. Knowing these truths, what will your response be? Will you care about truth? Like the Bereans in Acts 17, will you search the scriptures daily to learn more of Christ and all that he has said and all that he is? Or will you not care about truth and just reject all that you know regarding Christ? Like the Midianites who ignored the words of Joseph, will you ignore the voice of Christ? Like the soldiers who couldn't care less about learning about Christ, will you not care either? Let me ask you today, will you care about truth? Let me ask you also, will you care about justice? Will you care about Christ receiving what he rightly deserves? Will you care about Christ receiving you as his own, who loved us and died for us? Will you care about Christ being received by you, who has died to be your Saviour and your King? Will you care about justice? Will you care about fairness? Will you care about what is right and give your all to Christ? Or will you, like the Midianites and the soldiers, only care about one thing? What little profit you can get on this earth? Can it be said that you will not care about giving your life to Christ, asking him to save you? Can it be said that you will not care about giving your life to Christ, asking him to use you as his servant? No, because all you care about is a little bit of material on this earth, a little bit of money, a few little possessions. That's all you care about. Oh, I trust not. How tragic it would be that Christ, who loves us, he has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly, and yet we not care about him. Oh, how tragic and how sad it would be for us at the end of time to stand before Christ in our sins and never having lived for him in thankfulness for what he did for us on that cross, that we could be saved once and for all. You and I have seen the response of the Midianites to Joseph, but notice with me, secondly, the response of Potiphar's wife to Joseph. And coming into chapter 39, let us observe, first of all, the knowledge Potiphar's wife had of Joseph. In the first six verses, it is very clear that Potiphar's wife would have known three things about Joseph. First of all, she would have known Joseph was a faithful witness of the Lord. After all, verse 3 makes it clear, Joseph had the presence of the Lord. A fact seen clearly by Potiphar, and a fact I am sure Potiphar would have told his wife. But not only did Joseph have the presence of the Lord, Joseph had the blessing of the Lord. In verse 3, Potiphar would have told his wife that the Lord made all that Joseph did to prosper. A fact seen not only by Potiphar, but Potiphar's servants, and indeed Potiphar's entire household would have seen such blessing. She also would have seen that Joseph had a love for the Lord in the following verses. You see, not only did Joseph love the Lord by being faithful in his work for Potiphar, so that Potiphar could trust Joseph with everything that he had, but Joseph loved the Lord by being pure to the Lord, a fact Potiphar's wife knew all too well. When Joseph was tempted with lust, Joseph said no, because he could not sin against God. When Joseph was tempted with promotion and all she, as a wealthy woman, could give Joseph, Joseph said no. No matter how often and how strong Joseph was tempted, the answer was the same. Joseph said no. So Potiphar's wife would have known that Joseph was a faithful servant, a faithful witness of the Lord. But secondly, Potiphar's wife also would have known that Joseph was one who loved the people. Being a faithful leader in the household, Joseph would have shown love to all the servants in the household, no matter what age they were or what background they had. He would have shown mercy to them, kindness to them, and no doubt helped them again and again when they were in difficulty. Joseph was one who loved the people, and Potiphar's wife would have known that. And then thirdly, Potiphar's wife would have known that Joseph was one who was loved by the people. In verse 5 of chapter 39, we read that because of Joseph, the blessing of the Lord was upon all that Potiphar had in the house and in the field. This, no doubt, included the servants. And I've no doubt many of the servants, in gratitude to Joseph for the blessing of God, they would have loved Joseph. Having seen the knowledge that Potiphar's wife had regarding Joseph, notice with me now the response Potiphar's wife made regarding Joseph. First of all, she rejected Joseph's holiness and truthfulness when he told her what she wanted was a sin against God. You see, whenever Potiphar's wife would come and ask for Joseph to ally with her and to accomplish the will that she had, Joseph would not. Joseph would have told her it was a great sin against God. But she rejected that holiness. She rejected that truthfulness, and she would continue to live in her own sin no matter how many times Joseph would tell her of it. She rejected Joseph's holiness and truthfulness. Notice with me, secondly, she rejected Joseph's existence when he would not give her what she wanted. Not willing to repent of her sin, Potiphar's wife grew to hate Joseph and wanted him killed. She did not have the authority herself to put Joseph to death. That was reserved with her husband. But she could arrange his death, and arrange it she would. Men and women, this bears a striking resemblance to the knowledge and response the Jewish leaders had regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. By comparison, observe briefly with me the knowledge the Jewish leaders had of Christ. As Potiphar's wife knew Joseph was a faithful servant of the Lord, so the Jewish leaders knew Christ was a faithful servant of the Lord. For example, the Jewish leaders knew Christ had the presence of God. One of the Jewish rulers, many of you will know, a man called Nicodemus, he came to Jesus Christ one night. And Nicodemus was honest enough to admit that night, whenever he said to Christ in John 3 verse 1, Rabbi, we know, that is, we as the Jewish leaders, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. The Jewish leaders knew Christ had the presence of God with him. The Jewish leaders knew Christ had the blessing of God on him. They saw with their own eyes how the Lord blessed the work that Christ did. The blind received their sight, the lame were made to walk, the lepers were cleansed, the deaf were made to hear, the dead were raised to life, and the pure of the gospel preached to them. They knew Christ had the blessing of God on them. And also the Jewish leaders knew Christ loved God. In John 8:46, Jesus Christ asked the Jewish leaders, which of you convinceth me of sin? No Jewish leader was able to give an answer, for they were not aware of any sin. That's amazing. They were not aware of one sin in Christ's life. But this could not be said of their own lives. For when the Jewish leaders bring a woman to Christ, taken in adultery, and when Christ says, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her, we read that every one of the Jewish leaders, they began to walk away with their head in shame, Because while the Jewish leaders knew Christ was without sin and that he loved God perfectly, they themselves knew that they were sinners. But not only did the Jewish leaders know that Christ was a faithful servant of the Lord, the Jewish leaders knew Christ was loved, was one who loved the people. No matter who came to Christ for help, he helped them. It does not matter whether they were rich or poor, tall or small, educated or uneducated. All that came to Christ, Christ received. And finally, the Jewish leaders knew Christ was loved by the people. They considered Christ to be a prophet. Some even wanted to make Christ king. But how would the Jewish leaders respond to Christ? Well, just like Potiphar's wife, who rejected Joseph's holiness and truthfulness when he told her about her sin, so the Jewish leaders rejected Christ's holiness and truthfulness when he would tell them the truth about their sin before God. You see, again and again, Christ would tell the Jewish leaders of their need to repent, of their need to get their hearts right before God, and not to be hypocrites before God, the outside looking clean, but yet the inside being full of deadness and dirt. But yet, the Jewish leaders would not listen. They would continue in their sin. They would reject Christ's holiness. They would reject Christ's truthfulness and all that he told them. But not only would they reject Christ's holiness and truthfulness, the Jewish leaders would reject Christ's very existence because he would not give them what they wanted. Potiphar's wife wanted a very fleshly desire, and whenever she didn't get it, she wanted rid of Joseph. The Jewish leaders wanted a very fleshly desire. They wanted a Messiah who would come in and get rid of the Romans. But when Christ was not going to meet that fleshly desire, the Jews wanted to get rid of Christ. He was no good to them. Oh, they did not have the authority to put Christ to death, just as Potiphar's wife didn't have authority to put Joseph to death, but they could arrange Christ's death. Oh, how sad it is to see this response to one who loved them, to one who warned them, to one who didn't want to see them perish. They would reject Christ and they would seek to kill Christ. Let me ask you today, maybe you are able to testify clearly that Jesus Christ is a faithful servant of the Lord. You know, like the Jewish leaders, that Christ had the presence of God with him. Christ had the blessing of God on him. And Christ had the love of God in him. Christ never did a single thing wrong, but he did everything right. Maybe you're able to testify of his love to you, of the gifts he has given you, the truth he has taught you, the family he has bestowed you with. But what will you do with Christ today? Will you receive Christ's holiness and truthfulness? Will you accept that Christ, when he tells you to sin, that it's a sin, you'll turn from it, or will you reject it? Will you receive his loving commands to repent and keep repenting, to be saved, or will you reject his commands? Will you have not only the external behaviour right before God, but will you also have your internal heart right before God? Will you receive Christ's existence into your life as King, as Prophet and Truth and as Lord? Or will you reject Christ's existence? And maybe, in anger over some carnal desire that Christ has not given you, you seek to get rid of Christ, to listen and to see him no more. Sometimes you and I don't like making decisions. A bit like the hired servant at the very beginning. But tonight, today, you and I must make a decision regarding Christ. Is he going to be Lord of all our lives in holiness and in truth? Or is he not going to be Lord at all? Are we going to want him in our lives? Or are we going to repel him from our lives? Potiphar's wife wanted Joseph gone. She wanted Joseph dead. But notice with me, the way in which Potiphar's wife would get rid of Joseph. First of all, she schemed. In verse 13 we read, and it came to pass when she saw that he, that is Joseph, had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth. Seeing Joseph leave her, and her heart turning from desire to destruction, Potiphar's wife looked at what Joseph had left in her hand, his coat. And seeing his coat, Potiphar's wife began to scheme how she could use this to her advantage. Not only did she scheme, but she moved swiftly. In verse 13 we read, "And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house." Notice, it was when she saw that. So basically, immediately, she called unto the men of her house. This was a swift move. There doesn't seem to be any hesitation in Potiphar's wife calling upon the servants of the household. No, she acts swiftly, without hesitation and with determination, to call on the men of the house. She was going to do all she could to see Joseph killed, and to see Joseph killed quickly. Such was her abhorrence of Joseph. Note with me, thirdly, she manipulated. We read there that whenever she called upon the men of her house and spake unto them, she said, "He hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us." These servants arriving, those who had nothing against Joseph, Potiphar's wife quickly began to turn them against Joseph. First of all, she used the plural us instead of the singular me. She said, "See, he, that is your master, hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us." Not me, but to mock us. And then also she called Joseph an Hebrew, pitting him against the Egyptians, one who was not one of them. You see, she was manipulative. But only did she manipulate, she lied. Holding up a coat, which in itself was evidence of nothing, Potiphar's wife said regarding Joseph, "He came in to lie with me." But Potiphar's wife knew this wasn't true. She knew the exact opposite was true. Notice then also, fifthly, she craved. We read in verse 16 that Potiphar's wife laid up his garment, that is Joseph's garment, by her until his lord came home. She is not here call Potiphar her husband. She calls Potiphar Joseph's lord, or indeed Joseph's master. This indicates to me that Potiphar's wife wasn't 100% sure her plan would work. By keeping the garment close by her side, and perhaps rubbing it in her hands, she craved Joseph's demise and would let nothing else enter her mind. She was obsessed in getting Joseph destroyed. Notice with me, then sixthly, that she hurt. When Potiphar came home, in verses 17 to 18, we read that his wife told him the whole falsified story. How Joseph had supposedly come in to mock her. How she then lifted up her voice against him. And he ran, leaving the garment in her hand, seeking to make herself look good. But Potiphar's wife didn't care about Potiphar losing a good servant. She didn't care about the household servants losing a good master. No, all she cared about was getting rid of Joseph, even if it meant hurting everyone else around her, those whom she was meant to love. Men and women, the actions of Potiphar's wife are the same actions of the Jewish leaders against Christ. The Jewish leaders schemed against Christ. Right from Mark 3 verse 6, at the very early stages of Christ's ministry, they schemed to use what they could to put Christ to death. The Jewish leaders moved swiftly against Christ. Whenever it came to his arrest in Gethsemane, we read that they would not wait until morning to hold his trial. No, they would hold it at the very midnight in the high priest's house, and they would break rule after rule of their own rule book just to move swiftly and to get rid of Christ. Oh, they were meant to wait until the morning, but they would have the trial at night. Oh, they were meant to have the trial in the judgment hall, but now they would have it in the high priest's house. Oh, they were meant to wait until the festival period was over, but now they would have it right in the middle of the greatest festival of all, Passover. They were meant to wait until someone could speak on behalf of the accused, but no one was brought. They were meant to wait for at least a day to contemplate Christ's testimony, and for people to decide among themselves what was right and what was fair. And then a day after that, they were then to pronounce their judgment. But no, they could not wait. Right there, they had to move swiftly. They had to discard Christ's testimony as heresy. They had to bring forth a judgment, and they had to pronounce it that very night. Oh, how the Jewish leaders moved swiftly. The Jewish leaders were manipulative, just like Potiphar's wife. The Jewish leaders speaking to Pontius Pilate, they put Christ against the empire and said that he, that is Christ, is making himself out to be a king in opposition to Caesar, forbidding to give tribute to Caesar. This was all lies. And the Jewish people, sorry, the Jewish leaders knew they were lies. The Jewish leaders would then lie to the people. When Pilate offered to the people Barabbas or Christ, the Jewish leaders would go throughout the crowd, stirring up the people against Christ. The Jews did not care if they were hurting the people. The Jewish leaders did not care if they were hurting Pilate by killing one who loved them, one who was a faithful servant to them, one who told them of the salvation that God had for them in himself. No, the Jewish leaders only cared about their own ends, about themselves looking good. And like Potiphar's wife obsessively hugging the coat of Joseph, so the Jewish leaders obsessively hung around Pilate's court until he would condemn Christ to die. Oh, men and women, what hatred there was for one whose love was so great. What hatred there was for one whose love was so needed. I wonder if there is such a hatred in your heart today for Christ and his salvation. Like Potiphar's wife and the Jewish leaders, you do not merely reject Christ. No, you want to get rid of ever hearing about Christ or seeing him again. You will swiftly seek to make up a plan which means you don't have to hear of him. You will actively seek to manipulate others so you don't have to hear of him. Even if it means stopping the whole family from hearing of Christ or stopping those in your workplace hearing of Christ. You do not care if those around you need to hear of Christ. You do not care if those around you will benefit from hearing of Christ. All you care about is yourself and looking good. And not hearing of Christ ever again yourself. What utter hatred there is against Christ today. Oh, if you have such hatred, listen to the words of Christ. Because there is still hope. To those who would put Christ on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ would pray, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. Christ wants to forgive you. Christ wants to save you. Repent now from your sin. Believe Christ's love before it is too late. And for us who are saved, may we be forgiving with others the way Christ has been forgiving to us. You and I have seen the response of the Midianites to Joseph. You and I have seen the response of Potiphar's wife to Joseph. But notice with me, just briefly and thirdly, the response of Potiphar. To Joseph. In Genesis 39, verses 19 to 22, we read these words, You look with me at it. And it came to pass when his master, that is Potiphar, heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And gave him favour in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. What was Potiphar's response? First of all, it was one of anger. In verse 19 we read that Potiphar's wrath was kindled. Now who was Potiphar angry with? I don't believe it was Joseph. I believe it was with his wife. What makes you say that? You may ask. Well, notice three facts from verses 19 to 22. First of all, Joseph was imprisoned by Potiphar, not killed by Potiphar. Historians tell us a typical punishment in Egypt for a servant who committed a crime as serious as the one Joseph was accused of was instant death. Yet Joseph was not killed. He was put in prison. Notice with me a second fact. Joseph was imprisoned in Potiphar's prison, not another prison. In verse 20 we read that Joseph was put where the king's prisoners were bound. Now, a few verses later, in chapter 4, in the verse 3, we are told that Joseph was put in the house of the captain of the guard. Let me ask you, who was the captain of the guard? Genesis 39:1 tells us Potiphar was an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard. Potiphar, who was in charge of the king's prisoners, put Joseph in his very own prison. And then notice with me a third fact. Joseph was trusted by Potiphar. In verse 22 of chapter 39, we are told that the keeper of the prison committed afresh all things into Joseph's hand, so that he did not need to look to anything that was under his hand, just as it was in Potiphar's very own home. men and women, as captain of the guard, Potiphar was the head of the Egyptian royal police, and he was the chief executioner. All Potiphar had to do was to click his fingers and Joseph's head was gone. But Potiphar did not kill Joseph. He imprisoned him. And he put Joseph where he ought not to be. Because Potiphar's prison that he was in charge of was where king's prisoners should be bound, not common prisoners. But Potiphar would put Joseph there and show favour to Joseph and would use Joseph in his service in the prison. Now, I put it to you that Potiphar was not angry with Joseph. He was angry with his wife. His wrath was kindled against his wife. Why? Because his wife had now put Potiphar in the position that he didn't want to be in. Potiphar knew Joseph was innocent. Potiphar knew his wife did not love him. He knew his wife was unfaithful to him. He knew that all his wife did was care about herself and not the advantages of the household. Potiphar would have known this over many years. And yet Potiphar knew that his wife had now put him in a sticky situation. And so Potiphar had a choice to make. Would he care for justice and exonerate a Hebrew servant and punish his wife, who is an unfaithful liar in the Egyptian court? Or would Potiphar care about his pride and position before the Egyptian court? And instead of exonerating Joseph, would exonerate his wife and punish Joseph? What response would Potiphar make? In selfishness, he would care for his own pride and position. Potiphar would not stand up for truth. He would not stand up for justice. He would not stand up for the one who was good, just in case it hurt his career. Potiphar could have had Joseph and the blessing of God. Potiphar could have listened to Joseph speak to him about God and his wondrous salvation. But Potiphar's pride and position was too important for him. He would rather have the praise of the court than have the blessing of God. Oh, men and women, how tragic this was. And is this not exactly the same response that Pontius Pilate himself made? Like Potiphar, who knew Joseph was innocent. Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, tells that Pontius Pilate knew fine rightly that Jesus Christ was innocent. Like Potiphar, who knew Joseph was delivered for jealousy. Pontius Pilate knew that Jesus Christ was delivered up to him for jealousy. Like Potiphar, he was angry with his wife for putting him in the sticky situation. So Pontius Pilate was angry with the Jewish leaders for putting him in the sticky situation. And just as Potiphar would put his career and pride before justice and truth, so Pontius Pilate would put his career and pride before justice and truth when it came to Christ. O men and women, Pilate could have had the blessing of God. He could have had the Son of God revealing more and more of the truth of God and his wondrous salvation. But Pontius Pilate would put his own popularity and his own job first. Pontius Pilate would prefer the praise of the crowd than the blessing of God. Let me ask you this evening, what is more important to you? Having Christ or advancing in your career? Having popularity? Being popular with people, or having the very presence and the blessing of God? Let me ask you, will you value Christ and the blessing he gives more than the riches of men and the snide comments they make? In life, is it more important for you to hear Christ speak to you about God's wondrous salvation, or is life and its pleasures more important? As I conclude tonight, you may be like the hired servant at the very beginning and not like making decisions. But just as Potiphar, Potiphar's wife, and the Midianites had to make a decision regarding Joseph, so you and I must make a decision regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. The Midianites, they just couldn't care. The Potiphar's wife, she hated, and Potiphar, he rejected. The one who is the beloved of God, pure, innocent and loving, who gave his life for us, will you and I do what is right and just and give our lives to him who gave his life for us? Will we value him above our money, value him above our possessions, value him above any other pleasures in this world? Will we say like the hymn writer, take the world but give me Jesus? Will you and I listen to him? even if he tells us that we have done wrong? Will you and I honour him, even if no one else will? Men and women, will we love Christ? Will we love his truth? Will we love his presence? Will we love his blessing more than anything else in this world? Or will we not? You and I must consider Christ tonight. And you and I must make a decision regarding Christ tonight. Is he going to be Lord of all? Or is he not going to be Lord at all?